Amen. All right. So here in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number one, of course, I preached through this entire chapter. Much of it is about the wrath of God, and that's not what I'm focusing on here this morning. We've gotten plenty of that, although you might hear some of the wrath of God in the midst of some of this sermon. But if you look down in the Bible at verse number five, the Bible says right there in verse number five, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And so what I'm going to be focused on here today and preaching on here today is that life begins at conception. Amen. You know, we live in a day and in a time when, you know, the world treats babies that are in the womb as if, you know, they're just a lump of tissue, and they call them a fetus, and they don't treat, you know, babies as if they are real human beings when they're in the womb. And of course, our children in schools, throughout public schools in this land, are being taught that you know, evolution is true, and we've all evolved, and we're all animals after all. And then somehow they're all surprised when a school shooting takes place, right. And when something like that happens. I mean, after all, you taught them that they were just an animal. And then they're all surprised when they act like an animal and do things like that. But what we want to see in the Word of God is that, you know, life begins at conception. You know, when a man and a woman come together, and when the woman's egg is fertilized at conception, that begins life. It is a human being from that very point, no matter how small it is. That life is a human being, and to terminate it or to abort it at any point after that is murder. Amen. Now let's look down at what the Word of God says here. Of course, we just read this verse, and the Bible said there, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So Jeremiah was a man that, you know, God had already chose him, you know, before he had even been born, before he had even been formed in the belly, before he had even been formed in the womb. God had already chosen him and had a purpose for Jeremiah. Now, just imagine what would have happened if Jeremiah's mother would have terminated him or aborted him. I mean, there wouldn't be a Jeremiah, would there? And think about in this world, you know, how many Jeremiahs have been aborted, murdered before they were born? How many great preachers could there have been out of the 60 million plus just in America that have been aborted, that have been murdered? I mean, how many of those could have been great preachers? What great works could those people have done? How many souls could those people have led to the Lord had they been allowed to live? Now, let's take our Bibles. In fact, go ahead and take your Bible, go to Genesis chapter number 25, turn over there, and turn over to Genesis chapter number 25. And as you turn over there, you know, let me just give you the definition of conception as per WebMD. You can look this up on the internet, but WebMD says, "Conception, the act of conceiving, the state of being conceived, fertilization, inception, beginning or start of pregnancy." So according to WebMD, conception begins when? At the very beginning. At the moment that it starts, conception has taken place. But there are wicked people in this world that would try to redefine conception as happening later on in the process. And the reason why they do that is because they have a wicked agenda where they want to murder people, where they want to murder the children that are being born in this world. And listen, that agenda does not come of God. Who do you think that agenda comes of? That comes of Satan. Now look at what Genesis chapter number 25 says when you get over there. In fact, let me finish reading to you from WebMD. It says it takes about 24 hours for the sperm cell to fertilize an egg. When the sperm penetrates the egg, the surface of the egg changes so that no other sperm can enter. At the moment of fertilization, so at the moment when this takes place, the baby's genetic makeup is complete, including whether it's a boy or a girl. So from the very beginning, from the moment of conception, the genetic makeup of that child is already done. It's already complete. You know, God has already determined whether that's going to be a boy or whether that's going to be a girl. Now, us human beings, we can't tell that at that very moment, right? I mean, we kind of have to wait till later on in the process, and usually we're all excited to find out whether it's going to be a boy or whether it's going to be a girl. But that was already decided at the moment of conception, according to science itself. So please tell me, how is that not a human being? Please tell me, how is that just a lump of tissue that you can just cut out and discard and rip out of the womb and destroy? And listen, anybody that is for abortion, you know what? They ought to go watch one of those and see what actually happens. Yeah. And see those babies that are torn limb from limb, that are taken out of the womb, and see that little child that's laying there with its arms and with its legs and with its lungs, with its heart, with its head, its brains. I mean, and then they take these, if they survive, and they put them in acid and they try to kill these babies. Hey, that's wicked, and that's of the devil. To destroy that life at any point after conception is not of God. Now, let me continue on. Look at Genesis chapter number 25 right there. And look what the Bible has to say. Genesis chapter number 25. And look down at verse number 21. The Bible says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah and his wife conceived, and the children." Notice, what does the Bible call them? Does it call them tissue? Does it call them a fetus? No, what does the Bible call them?
Children.
"And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb.'" And so stop reading there. What do we see here in the Word of God? Does the Bible define children in the womb as just some lump of tissue? Or does it define them as children? As children, you see, they're no different than those children that are sitting in your laps this morning.
Amen.
And think about how wicked and how evil it would be if somebody were to come to you and say, "Hey, we want to kill your children." I mean, after all, it's your body, it's your choice, right? I mean, it's your home, it's your life, it's your choice. I mean, you ought to have the right to, you know, have the freedom in this life and have the liberty and to not have to be tied down and weighed down with these children. Hey, that would be wicked and evil. And any sane person would say that that is wicked and evil and of the devil.
Right.
To murder children. Well, how much more wicked would it be to murder children that are still in the womb?
Yeah.
But yet this goes on a continual basis in our nation. And for all those conservatives out there that were all excited about Trump. And I remember several of them, and I warned people when he was running for president. Did I not warn the entire time that this man is wicked? You can go back, you can listen to all the sermons that are on YouTube, and you can hear me warning people that this man is not a conservative, he's not a Christian, he is not for the people of America, he's for himself. And I saw several Christians that said basically this, that the only reason they were voting for Trump was because he was going to defund Planned Parenthood. Because he's against abortion. Well, guess what he just funded? Fully. With this new bill that they just passed, that he signed. And that bill fully funds Planned Parenthood. And what was his excuse for signing it? Well, we need to beef up the military. I mean, we need to beef up the military. We need to, you know, give more spending to our Defense Department and to the Army and to the Navy and to the Marines and to this and to that. And so for that reason alone, I'm going to fund a bill, pass a bill that fully funds the murdering and the butchering of children. Now listen, that's wicked and that's of the devil.
I mean, listen, do you think it'd be right? Let's say, you know, we had to fully fund, and we had to fund a bill for our defense spending in America, but in order to do so, we had to kill all the children under 2 years or younger. I mean, would that be any less wicked? I mean, don't you think there'd be outcry in America? Don't you think the Christians would be all up in arms? Well, I wonder if they actually would, or if they'd be like the Christians today, that when he did this and he signed this into law, you don't see a bunch of outcry out there. I mean, he just fully funded for our nation to continue butchering and murdering children, and yet the Christians are silent. And yet they're not raising up arms, yet they're not crying out aloud, yet they're not raising hell about this like they ought to be. They're just sitting back and being silent, and some of them, even worse, they'll sit back and try to justify why he did it. And they'll sit there and say, well, don't you know why he had to do this? I mean, after all, we need to beef up our military even more. Really? I mean, our military is already the strongest military in the world. I mean, our military already has the best technology. We have the best training. We already have a great military according to the world standards. But yet, we got to beef it up. You wonder what that makes me wonder? You know, what war are they preparing for?
Yeah.
What war is coming in the future that they've not told you that they have planned that's coming in the future? And he's just continually beefing up the military for what purpose? To throw our nation into another state of war, and by doing this, he has fully funded a bill that continues the butchering of children. Now listen, no Christian man would do such a thing.
That's right.
You can sit there and try to justify it all you want, all the conservatives out there, and you can sit there and try to make all the excuses of all the good things that he's done, but he's already, you know, failed on most of those things that he said he would do. He's already, you know, not done those things. He lied about those things. I mean, listen, what law do we still have for our health care? Don't we still have Obamacare? Wasn't that one of his plans? Wasn't that one of the things that he stated that he was going to end that? Didn't he state that when he got into office that Hillary was going to be thrown into prison? And yet that's not taken place. We still have Obamacare. This man is not a conservative. He's not a Christian. And he's going to continue doing these things. You know why? Because he's a wicked man. And he's a puppet that's being controlled by Satan himself.
Amen.
He has not been entered into by the Holy Ghost. He's not a saved man. Jesus Christ, contrary to the pictures that you've seen on Facebook, you know, Jesus Christ is not giving Trump a big old bear hug. I mean, Jesus Christ is not with Donald Trump. No, Jesus Christ is against Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is his enemy. And as long as America allows these things to continue on, you know what? America will be God's enemy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because listen, there's nothing that God hates more than the shedding of innocent blood. And we'll see that here this morning as we look in the Word of God. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and look at verse number 5. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. And look at verse number 5. See what the Word of God has to say there. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and verse number 5. And see what the Word of God has to say. We're going to turn to many places here this morning as usual. But look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and look down at verse number 5 and see what the Bible has to say there. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and verse number 5. And the Bible says, I need to be in chapter 11. Let me get to the right chapter. There we go. Chapter 11 and verse number 5. And the Bible says this. It says, As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, or how the bones do grow, where?
In the womb.
In the womb. And her that is with what?
Child.
Child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. You know what the Bible just told us? Again, is that child in the womb, is it a child according to God, or is it a lump of tissue? It's a child, but yet we have wicked people out there that teach that that's not a child. And we even have men that have called themselves independent Baptists that teach and believe that child is not a real child, is not alive, does not have a soul until it's born and exits the womb and takes its first breath.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? Some of you know who I'm talking about. It's a man that was, he's dead now, thank God. He's burning in hell now, thank God, instead of teaching this garbage. But his name is Ruckman, and he was in Pensacola, Florida, and he taught that it was just fine to have an abortion. And listen, this is an independent Baptist, a man that was King James only, a man that supposedly believed that this was the Word of God, and yet he's teaching this garbage that it's not a child until it's born. Well, contrary to that, what does the Bible say? The Bible says when it's in the womb, it is a what? It's a child according to the Bible. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 18 and look at verse number 5. Let's see what God thinks about this. And you may sit there and think that some of the things I've already said might have been a little harsh about some people. Well, just buckle up because it's going to get worse. In fact, let's just see what Jesus Christ said about these people. Let's see what Jesus Christ thought about those that would offend one of God's little ones. Let's see if he just wanted to forgive them, if he just wanted to love on them, or let's see if Jesus Christ would rather that they be killed. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter number 18, look down at verse number 11, or 5, verse number 5, thank you. And the Bible says this, Matthew 18, verse number 5, and this is Jesus himself speaking. He says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Amen. Did you see what Jesus Christ just said about these men? About these people that would offend one of God's little ones? That Jesus Christ himself, Jesus Christ was just all loving, right? And listen, Jesus Christ did have a lot of love. Absolutely, he had a lot of mercy. But guess what? Jesus Christ is God, and he also has a lot of wrath and righteousness and justice.
That's right.
And it is justice for somebody that would harm a little child to be put to death.
Yeah, right.
And what did Jesus Christ say about these men? It would be better for that man that would harm a little child to have a millstone tied about his neck and to be cast into the ocean. Now you think about that. Is that a pleasant way to die?
No.
I mean, how many of us, if you could choose your way to die, would choose that one? No, most of us, when we die, we all know that someday we will, but we want for ourselves to just kind of pass on peacefully, right? We don't want to go through pain. We don't want to go through suffering as human beings. We don't want to go through that. But to have a millstone tied about it, your neck, and think about it. That millstone is tied to your neck, and it's dragging you down into the ocean, and you're sitting there struggling for life. You're trying to get that thing off of your neck, but you can't get it off of your neck because the sheer weight of the stone. And think about a millstone. What's a millstone? Anybody seen a millstone before? A millstone is a huge stone that they would use to grind corn down, to grind wheat on down. And that huge stone, I mean, listen, it would probably take 10 of us to pick that thing up. And think about it, if that was tied to your neck and you're thrown into the ocean, you're trying to get that thing off of your neck, struggling as you're being dragged down into the ocean, and the sheer weight of the stone pulling on the rope, it will not allow any space in that. So you're being strangled to death. You're drowning as you go down. And if you don't die quick enough, by the time you get down so deep, you're going to be crushed by the sheer weight of the water of the ocean.
Yeah.
That's what Christ said should happen to these kinds of people. He said, and not only that, not only should this happen, he said it would be better for them.
Yeah.
For that to happen than what they have coming to them. It would be better for them to have that because then, you know what? At least it'd be quick. At least then it'd be over. But you know what they have coming for them? They have hell in their future.
Amen.
And they're going to suffer for all eternity. They're going to burn with fire and brimstone for all eternity. Those that would harm one of God's little ones, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ thought about them. Now take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter number 24, and look at verse number 3 when you get over there. 2 Kings chapter number 24, look down to verse number 3. 2 Kings chapter number 24 and verse number 3. You see what the Word of God has to say there. 2 Kings chapter number 24 and verse number 3. Let's notice something here in the Word of God. Look at what the Bible has to say. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse number 3. And the Bible says right there in 2 Kings chapter number 24 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the what?
Innocent
blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would what?
Not pardon.
Now, notice what the Bible says about this. He filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and that innocent blood is children. We'll see that in a moment. I'll show it to you. But notice, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says that God would not pardon Manasseh for this. He would not pardon Jerusalem for this because they had shed innocent blood and filled Jerusalem with it. God says that he would not pardon them. Now, somehow I doubt that Manasseh had killed 60 million children. And the population during this day and time wasn't that much, right? So he hadn't even killed as many as America had. And the Bible says that God would not pardon it. Well, how much more in our day and time when we've murdered over 60 million babies, do you think God is going to pardon that?
No.
Do you think that God's just going to allow that go? Do you think that we can continue on just seeing God bless America and expect the blessings of God to come on this nation? I mean, absolutely not. Do you think we can just continue on with our president getting up and giving a speech on every single Easter and blessing Easter and blessing Passover and saying, "God bless America," and that when our politicians get up and they say, "God bless America," is that actually going to get the blessings of God on our nation?
No,
absolutely not. It's not going to. And furthermore, when those evil and wicked politicians do that, it angers God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when they get up and they say, "God bless America," while on the other hand, they turn around and sign a wicked bill that funds the butchering and murdering of children, you know what? That only angers God, right?
Yes,
because when they get up and say, "God bless America," they don't actually mean it. When they get up and say, "God bless America," the only reason they're doing it is because they have to, and it's expected of them in the position that they're in, and because of our traditions, they're expected to say those things. But you know what? It only further angers God, and it's an abomination unto him. If you don't think that's so, then just go read Isaiah chapter number 1. And you know what you'll find in Isaiah chapter number 1? You'll find that even the sacrifices and those kinds of things that were being fulfilled, that those things became an abomination unto God. That God says, "I hate those things." Why? Because they are continually living in their sin. Now go on down to verse number 24 here in this chapter. And let's see what the Bible has to say. Not 24. In fact, go back, to chapter 21 and look at verse number 2. Chapter 21. And verse number 2, and see what the Bible has to say there, 21, and verse number 2 right there. And the Bible says this, and this again is talking about Manasseh. In fact, let's go back to verse number 1. And it says, "Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Go on, it says verse 3, "For he built up the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, and as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served him. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, 'In Jerusalem will I put my name.' And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he made," notice this, "his son," think about how wicked this is,
yeah,
"made his son pass through what?
The fire.
And observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." Now stop reading there. You see, the innocent blood that Manasseh shed was that they were taking their children and casting them into the fire to offer them as a sacrifice unto that false god. Think about how wicked this man is that he'd even do that with his own child. I mean, think about that. You parents, I mean, would you do that with your children? I mean, would you take your child and cast them into the fire? I hope not. You better get out of this church if you're that kind of a man. Amen. You won't be allowed in this church. No abortion doctor will ever be allowed in this church. Amen. No one who works in that kind of field, who's a nurse or whatever they are, that has anything to do with that, will be allowed in this church ever, because it's an abomination, it's wicked, it's of the devil. And notice here, not only was he casting his son into the fire, but he's dealing with familiar spirits. I mean, he's dealing with demons and with devils. You see, that's what's behind this garbage that we see out there. And the reason why these doctors can sit there and perform thousands upon thousands of abortions, each of them, is because they're probably demon-possessed themselves.
Right.
Because they have a devil. How else do you explain how wicked they are? That they've become reprobate. That they're reprobate concerning the gospel, and they have a demon, they have a devil, because it is Satan that wants to destroy mankind, isn't it? Yeah. Now let's look on in the Bible. Go to Genesis chapter number 9, look at verse number 6. Let's see what the punishment is in the Bible that God gives for shedding blood. Look what God says back in Genesis chapter number 9, look at verse number 6. Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 6. And see what the Word of God has to say there. Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 6. And the Bible says this in Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says right there, Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 6. In fact, let's look back up a little bit. Go back up to verse number 4. And the Bible says, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Now what is the punishment for shedding man's blood? God gives the death penalty. Oh, well, that's not loving. You know what? It is loving. You know why that is loving? Because you put to death the murderer so that he doesn't murder anybody else.
Amen.
And the Bible says that this is the payment. This is what God requires. You know, it would be loving if we put the abortion doctors to death.
Amen.
You know how that would be loving? Because then there wouldn't be any more children that are being aborted, right?
Right.
Man, it wouldn't matter what laws the government passed if there weren't any governments to, or any doctors to do it. I mean, there wouldn't be abortions going on. I mean, listen, and by the way, that's biblical, that is required by God, and this nation will not have God's blessing on it until we do this.
Right.
You know what? Until we put every abortion doctor to death, until we put every nurse that has had anything to do with it and stood there and watched it and condoned it, until they're put to death, and until the politicians that pass those bills are put to death, and until the Supreme Court justices, by the way, the majority of them were Republicans that passed that, and until they were put to death, then this nation would not have the blessing of God upon us, because God requires that blood be paid for blood. You want to see it further? Take your Bibles, go to Numbers chapter number 35, and let's see what God says about that. Now listen, is that going to happen in this nation? No, our nation's not going to do that. But nonetheless, you know what? This needs to be preached, and it needs to be shouted from the housetop. And there needs to be more preachers that aren't afraid to stand up and to say what needs to be said, and to maybe put some fear of God into some of these politicians.
Right.
That these politicians that would sit there and vote for a bill and pass a bill that would allow children to be butchered and murdered and put to death, that they need to understand that what God thinks about them is that they ought to be put to death, and that God has something worse in mind for them.
Right.
And that God said about them that it would be better for them to go ahead and have a millstone tied about their neck and to be cast into the ocean than to offend one of God's little ones. Look back where the Bible says here in Numbers chapter number 35, and look down at verse number 30. Numbers chapter number 35 and verse number 30. And the Bible says this in Numbers chapter number 35 and verse number 30. The Bible says this: whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death. Now, is that clear enough for you?
Yeah.
Oh, but they were just in the womb. Whoso killeth any person. Listen, we already established when does life begin? It begins at conception. God calls that child in the womb a child, not a lump of tissue. And therefore, they are a person, and any person that would kill another person, the Bible says, they shall be put to death. But not only that, continue reading on. Look at what it says. It says there in verse number 30, whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. You know what the Bible says? No satisfaction. The punishment is death. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's no satisfaction that's to be taken for it. Oh, well, they're in an important place of leadership. No satisfaction.
Right.
Oh, well, they got a bunch of money that they can pay. No satisfaction. Oh, well, they can do this and they can become a great leader. No satisfaction, the Bible says. They're to be put to death. Continue reading that. And the Bible says right there in verse number 31, moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute, notice this, pollute the what?
The land.
The land wherein ye are. For blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it.
Yeah.
Did you just see what the Bible said? Yeah. That when you defile a land with blood, the only way to cleanse that is to shed the blood of him that shed it.
Amen.
I mean, that's what the Bible says. This is the law of God. This is the law that's going to reign from Zion when Jesus Christ returns back to this earth. I guarantee you when he comes back and the government is on his shoulders, abortion doctors, they sure will be put to death.
That's right.
Any kind of a murderer, first degree murder, premeditated murder, they're going to be put to death according to the word of God. Rapists put to death. Pedophiles put to death. Those that would offend one of God's little ones, they will be put to death. And guess what? Who's going to be carrying that out? You know, you sit there and you might sit there and say, well, I don't like these commandments of God. I don't want these commandments of God. These things are grievous to me. Well, what did Jesus Christ say about that? In fact, go to Matthew chapter number 5. Let's look at it real quick. Matthew chapter number 5 and see what Jesus Christ said about that. Matthew chapter number 5. And look down in the verse. I wasn't planning on going here, but we'll go there anyways and take a look at it. Matthew chapter number 5. And see what the Word of God has to say. I have to get there and look on down at which verse it is I want you to go to. But it's near the end of the chapter, I think. Matthew chapter number 5. And look down. I want to say it's like verse 19 or something like that. Look at Matthew chapter number 5. And look on down at verse, Matthew chapter number 5. Everybody there? Let's see, go on down to verse number 19. That's where I want you. And the Bible says right there, Matthew 5, verse number 19. And it says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these, what's it say?
Least
commandments. So even just the smallest commandments. Look at what it says. And shall teach men so, he shall be called least. Where? In the kingdom of heaven. Is he going to lose his salvation? No, he's going to be there, but he's going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on to say, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know what? During the days of Jesus Christ, when his millennial reign is set up on this earth, the Bible says that he shall rule with a rod of iron.
Right.
And the Bible not only says that about him, but it says to those that overcome, who are the saved, and keep the commandments of God, to him will I give to rule with me with a rod of iron. You know what that means? Those who now, today, are not only saved, yes, they're going to be there, but those who today are keeping the commandments of God and following God's law, they are the ones that are going to rule with Christ with a rod of iron.
Right.
So for all of you watered down Christians out there that don't want to obey the commandment of God and think that that's harsh, guess who's going to be giving you commandments to go chop off the head of the abortion doctor? It's going to be men like myself and preachers like myself and people who keep the commandments of God that are ruling with a rod of iron. They're going to be giving you the commandment and you're going to be the foot soldier going and doing it.
Amen.
Because you didn't want to keep the commandments of God now. And so then you'll be the least in the kingdom of God. And listen, that is absolutely loving, and that is the love of God. Because you know what? God's love, he's not for that one that would murder the person, that would murder the child. You know where God's love is? God's love is for that child. God's love is for that person that has been wronged. God's love is for that person who has been murdered. And that's why God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay." You know, I would hate to be in the shoes of these abortion doctors and these politicians who have passed these kinds of a bill that God says, hey, it'd be better for you to be cast into the ocean with that millstone tied about your neck than to face me.
Right.
Because that's what's going to happen, is they're going to face the wrath of God, and God is going to give them a punishment that is worse than that. Which is why the Bible teaches even about, you know, the false prophets in 2 Peter chapter number 2. And it says that these shall receive the greater damnation. Now listen, anyone who's not saved, they're damned, right?
Yes, sir.
If they don't believe, they're condemned, the Bible says. Why? Because they believe not. They're condemned already, John chapter number 3. They're condemned, but you know what? There's a difference between the damnation of somebody that's just a lost person and an evil and wicked murderer, like Donald Trump, like these politicians that would pass these bills, or like these abortion doctors that would carry this act out. There's a greater damnation for those kinds of men. And the Bible says that the land will not be cleansed but by the blood of him that has shed it. You know what that tells me about our land? Our land cannot be cleansed of the blood of the 60 million babies. Unless what happened? Unless our nation put to death every one of those abortion doctors, put to death every one of those nurses, put to death every single one of those politicians that has anything to do with that, then our land will not be cleansed. Now, is that going to happen?
No.
Do you think our nation is actually going to do that? The answer is no. So you tell me then, is our land going to be cleansed?
No.
Is our land then going to have the blessing of God upon it, or the curse of God upon it?
Yes.
And our land will have the curse of God upon it, and does have the curse of God upon it, because we have shed much blood, and that blood is not being paid for. That blood is not being cleansed. Rather, we're adding blood on top of that. Rather, every single day, there are thousands of children that are being murdered that are in the womb. Now, let's move on in the Bible and move on to something else. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 49 and look at verse number 25. Genesis chapter number 49 and look at verse number 25. I told you it was going to get a little bumpy this morning. You thought the very beginning was rough. I mean, it got pretty rough there. Look at what the Bible says, Genesis chapter number 49 and look at verse number 25. Genesis chapter number 49 and verse number 25, and see what the Bible has to say there. Genesis chapter number 49, verse number 25. And the Bible says this in Genesis 49, verse number 25. The Bible says, even by the God of thy people, by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of what? And of what?
The womb.
The womb. You see, the fruit of the womb is a blessing, the Bible says. But today we live in a day and a time where people act like it's a curse.
Amen.
I mean, listen, I walk around and when I go places and I've got my three children with me, people will sit there and tell me, oh, God bless you, you really got your hands full. They act like I've just got this huge family because I have more than two children.
Yeah.
Because I have three children, because I actually have two sons and one daughter. But according to the world, they would sit there and tell me that, oh, you surely have one of those sons. Well, how about you, after the service, come up to me and try to convince me which one of my sons I should get rid of?
Yeah.
Good luck with that. You know what? I'm not going to tell you what will happen, but nothing nice is going to happen to you if you came up to me afterwards. And listen, the same with any one of you parents.
That's right.
If somebody came up to you, you got more than two children, and they come up and said, hey, you got two children, that's enough, you need to stop there, you need to get rid of that child. How would you react?
Horrible.
You think you're going to act too nicely about that person? I mean, but listen, that's how this world acts. Is that they act like you ought to only have two children. Listen, this nonsense is not only being taught out there in the world, it's being taught in churches and in Bible colleges. Listen, when I went to Bible college, and I know this wasn't exclusive to my college, because I've talked to many other preachers that went to other Bible colleges, and they taught the same thing at their colleges. When I went to Bible college, they taught us that when you get married, you ought to wait a couple of years till you have children. And by telling you you ought to wait, you know what they're telling you to do? I mean, listen, you're married. How do you wait? You're not going to abstain, so how do you wait? They're telling you to use what? To use contraceptives, to use birth control, and to use those things in your marriage. And they sit there and teach you that you ought not to have too many children. They sit there and teach you that you need to wait. They sit there and teach you that your wife needs to get out of home and stop bearing children. And that your wife needs to teach in the Christian school. And that your kids need to be given over to the school system. Listen, that will never happen in this church. You know when this church will have a Christian school? When I'm dead. When I'm not the pastor of this church, that's when that will happen here. But it will never happen if I am the pastor at this church, because nowhere in the Bible do you see that that is the church's responsibility. I mean, can anybody show me, please, I'd love for you to do it, show me one verse in the Bible that tells me to have a Christian school. Is it there? Many of you have been saved for many years. Can you show me one verse? It's not there in the Bible. Hey, I thought we were King James only. I thought the Word of God was our sole authority in faith and practice. Well, it is the Word of God that is our sole authority in faith and practice. And you know what the Bible teaches? That rather, the parents ought to raise up their own children. That it is the parents' responsibility. It's not my responsibility as a pastor to raise your children. That is your responsibility, but because this has crept into churches, you know what ends up happening? Then what ends up happening is these churches, you know what? They can't afford to run a school how the school should be run, because they want to run it as a ministry instead of as a business, which is what it really is, and they can't cover the cost of it. So all the church's money goes into running this business, the Christian school, and because they're putting all this money into it, they can't afford, because they're trying to run it as a ministry and they're not charging what they should for it, they can't afford to pay their teachers what they ought to pay them. So you know what ends up happening? Then they hire Joe Major to come teach at their school, and when they hire Joe Major to come teach at their school, they expect Joe Major's wife to teach in the school as well for the same pay. They want to get a twofer, right? And because of that, those Christian couples that are in the school can't afford to pay rent. They can't afford to have more children. They can't afford the doctor's bill. They can't afford health insurance. They can't afford to have more than one car. They can't afford things in their life. And they're just living at the lowest place in their life. And because of that, the woman has to be out of the home working in the school because they're not paying their staff member enough. Listen, if this church ever gets to the point where we can hire people on staff, I will not hire people unless we have sufficient funds to be able to pay that man what he needs.
Right.
It's not going to happen. The laborer is worthy of his hire, right? And I'm not going to hire a man and expect his wife to come work for me. No, if I hire a man, you know what I expect of that man? I expect his wife to be at home taking care of the children.
That's right.
That's what I expect of them. Look back at what the Bible says. We're starting to get off on a rabbit trail here this morning. But sometimes those are the best. Look at Psalms 127 and verse number 3. And the Bible says in Psalms 127, verse number 3, the Bible says, little children are inheritance of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his what?
Reward.
It's his reward, the Bible says.
Children are a blessing from God. They are a reward from God. But today we have Christians acting like they're a curse. Today we have Christians today that act like children are just a burden. Listen, why don't you come up to me after the service and tell me which one of my children is a burden? Y'all, I'll show you that door real quick. Because you know what? My children are not a burden. Are they work? Sure, they're work, right? I mean, it takes work to take care of them. But you know what? My children are not a burden. They're a blessing.
Amen.
I love my children. And you know what? I want more. And if God gives me 4 children, I'll be happy. If He gives me 5 children, I'll be happy. If He gives me 12 children, I'll be happy. If He gives me 13 children, I'll be happy. If He gives me 20 children, you know what? I would be happy. And by the way, all that with one wife. Right?
Amen.
Not multiple women. One woman, amen. That God has given me that woman to do what? To bear children and to raise those children, to guide the home, to guide the house. That is the purpose, and that is the place of my life. You know what? If God gave me all those children, you know what? I'd be happy with whatever number God decides to give me. I'm not trying to stop God somehow from giving me children. But you know what? That's what Christians are doing today, right? They're trying to play God. In fact, go to Judges chapter number 13. See what the Bible has to say there. Judges chapter number 13. And look at verse number 5. And the Bible says this in Judges chapter number 13. And verse number 5. Judges chapter number 13. Verse number 5. See what the Word of God has to say there. Judges chapter number 13. And verse number 5. And the Bible says right there in Judges 13. Verse number 5. The Bible says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." You know what I see here? Who is it that has control over that womb? God does. You see, God has power to open the womb, and God has power to close the womb. And He does it for different reasons, right? I mean, listen, I would never say that somebody that only has 2 children or doesn't have any children is because they're a wicked person. Don't misunderstand me this morning. Because how long did it take for Abraham to bear children? You see, sometimes God closes the womb because He has a purpose. Because He has a plan for that person. And sometimes He opens the womb because He has a purpose. And yes, sometimes He closes the womb because it is a punishment. And listen, He does that in the Word of God. We can look at many places in the Bible, such as in Genesis chapter number 20, where He closes the wombs of all the house of Abimelech, and it was a punishment upon Abimelech, because Abimelech had taken Moses' wife, even though Moses had lied to him, and he was going to take her unto himself, and God punished him and closed all the wombs of his house. You see, it's God who has that power to open and close the womb. But yet man today, what does man want to do? Man wants to play God, right? Man wants to use all these contraceptives and all this birth control out there to try to keep from bearing children, because they look at children as a burden. They look at children as something that is keeping them from enjoying their career. Many women today are putting off getting married and putting off having children because they want to have a career. Many women today will only have 1 or 2 children at the most because they want to have a career, and they look at those children as a burden.
Yeah.
And then you know what happens? Because they want to have their stinking career, then they expect the grandparents to watch the child, when the wife ought to be the one watching the child.
Amen.
They expect the grandparents to raise the child, and the grandparents are the ones that are at home with them all day long. They're the ones that are raising them. And sometimes it's worse than that, because then they take the children and they put them in a daycare while the wife is off working and the husband's off working, and some stranger is raising the child, and then they're all surprised when their child grows up and goes to the world. Then they're all surprised when they grow up and their child is a drunkard, and their child is a drug addict, and their child is living up the partying lifestyle, and their child is a selfish individual. You know why your child's a selfish individual? Because
You were a selfish individual, and you taught that to them. Because you put them off. You didn't spend time with them. You didn't raise them. You didn't teach them. You didn't train them. You require that of the daycare and of the Christian school or of the public school to raise your child. While you were off playing with your little career and going out on your date nights with your lady friends and your date nights with your buddies and going out in men's night and women's night. Hey, you know what? I don't get a men's night. I don't get a woman. My wife doesn't get a ladies' night. Maybe once a year, if even that. And you know why? Because we have other responsibilities. Because we're parents and we have to take care of and raise and train our children. And you know what? Just call me crazy. I actually enjoy spending time with my children.
Amen.
I actually enjoy being with them and roughhousing with them and playing with them and spending time with them and sitting down, spending that time with them. You know what? That is fun to me. You know what? I'd rather spend an evening with my children than I would with any of you jokers.
Amen.
Right? I'd rather spend an evening playing with them than going out with you. You know why? Because I love them more than I love you. Now listen, I love every single person in this church. I love every single brother in Christ of mine and every sister of Christ of mine. But you know what? Those are my children.
Right.
And they're not a burden. They're a blessing to me. Now take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter number 38. Because man wants to play God. He wants to use all these contraceptives. And you know what? There's only one man in the Bible that the Bible speaks about that ever tried to use a form of birth control. And you know what happened to him for that? God killed him. Look at it. Genesis chapter number 38. And look down at verse number 8. And the Bible says right there, Genesis 38 and verse number 8. And the Bible says, and Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. Obviously, his brother is dead. This is why he's telling him that, right? Look at verse number 9. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. So what did he do? He wants to have the enjoyment, right? He wants to have the pleasure. Isn't that what people do today? They want to have the pleasure with no consequences, right?
Yeah.
They want to enjoy themselves with that man, with that woman, and have the pleasure, but they don't want the consequences of having a child. Well, look at what the Bible says God did to this man. Look at verse number 10. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he did what? He slew him also. You know what the Bible says about the only man in the Bible that practiced contraceptives? Is that God slew this man. God killed that man. I mean, that's what God thinks about this man. Say, God told us in the Word of God. He said in Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 7, be fruitful and what?
Multiply.
You know, I remember that when I was a child being taught in Sunday school and sitting in Sunday school and the Sunday school teacher teaching us and telling us that the purpose of marriage was to have children. The purpose of marriage was to be fruitful and to multiply. That used to be taught in churches today, but it's not being taught today. Now they teach you how to use contraceptives. Now they teach you how to use birth control. And by the way, some of these colleges will actually bring in secular doctors, and they'll bring them in, a male doctor, who will go in and teach the women at the college about contraceptives and about birth control. I mean, listen, I know one preacher that they had a meeting like this at his college where he went to, and they blacked out all the windows. Now listen, why would you do that if you didn't have something to hide? But they blacked out all the windows where nobody could see in. This was a private meeting that was supposed to only be for all of the women who were engaged, about to get married. And this male doctor comes in and is teaching them and telling them this stuff about contraceptives and about birth control and all of this. And even went so far as to tell them that when you're about to get married so that you don't have trouble on your wedding night, you need to come see me so that I can open you up down there and make sure things are good. Now listen, that's wicked and that's of the devil.
Right.
And listen, that was at the biggest independent Baptist college in the nation. And what happened when this man sent his wife into the meeting and she recorded it with an audio recording that they didn't know she had. And he took that to the leadership at the college, and the college, instead of getting right over it, reprimanded him for doing that. Now listen, that's wicked and that's evil, that's of the devil. I mean, listen, women, you ought not to be seeing some man, first of all. I mean, if you're a woman and you get pregnant, you ought to have a woman doctor, because no man has any business looking on your nakedness other than your husband. He's the only one that has any business. And for an independent Baptist college to allow that nonsense to be taught in their college is wicked and evil. You know what that tells you about our colleges today, these independent Baptist colleges? That there's a whole bunch of false prophets that have crept into these colleges.
Yeah.
You see why I don't recommend colleges nowadays? Because this kind of junk is being taught in there. And by the way, the birth control, we don't even have time to go through it all. But these birth control pills, whether it's the pill or whether it's the patch or many of these things, you know, these birth control pills, they actually cause you to have abortions.
Right.
Because they don't prevent pregnancy 100% of the time. You know, sometimes those women are actually getting pregnant even though they're on the birth control pill. But you know what the birth control does? It damages the lining of their urethra, so that when the seed has conception has taken place, it's been fertilized, and it goes down the fallopian tube to the urethra. It can't lodge properly in the urethra, and it dies off. Hey, that's after conception. Now listen, we all agreed earlier today, how many of you agree that life begins at conception?
Amen.
Every one of us, right? So if you believe that, you believe that's a little child, well then, if you're taking that birth control, well then you are committing murder. And if you're doing it unknowingly, at best, it's manslaughter. And these companies that produce these things, I mean, think about these pharmaceutical companies, they know the science. They know these things. All you have to do is look up in the package and you can read it for yourself. These companies know that it's going on. They know that children are being, they're called silent abortions. They know that these children are being aborted, being killed by these birth control pills, and yet they still continue producing these things. They still continue selling these things. You know what that tells me? That the blood of those babies, those unborn children, is upon their hands as well.
Yeah.
And you know what? Not only should the politicians be put to death, and the abortion doctors put to death, but those pharmaceutical companies, the head of those companies, ought to be put to death as well.
Amen.
Because they're also pushing something that is committing murder. Hey, listen, anything that kills that child after conception, if you're doing it purposely, that's murder.
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? In vitro fertilization is murder. You know why? Because in a vitro fertilization, they'll take 15 or 20 eggs and fertilize those eggs. They put them in a petri dish and allow them to begin to grow. And then after they grow, they take the ones that are the most promising and they put those back in the woman. And the other ones, they grow in the waste can. After conception. You know what that is? That's murder, is what that is. But yet this isn't being taught in our churches. It's not being preached by preachers. And why is it not being preached? Because preachers are afraid to say the truth, or they're ignorant and they've not even looked into the facts.
Yeah.
And then you know what? All these drugs, these birth control pills, the patch, they have a horrible effect upon women. And you want to know why many of these women can't bear children? Well, maybe it's because even science today will tell you that for as long as you are on that birth control, it can actually prevent you for that long or longer after you get off of it from having children. So if you were on it for 3 years, it could keep you, after you decide you want to have children, from having children for another 3 years. And guess what? That whole 3 years that you're having children, that you wanted to have children but can't, there might have actually been some pregnancies that took place. But because you so damaged your body with that birth control, that child died off. You see, that's what's taking place today with all the birth control and all this nonsense out there. And then not only that, there's all kinds of other effects that it has on women. Let me just read you some of them. One of them in particular that I looked up, some of the side effects of it. It says they can cause toxic shock syndrome. Some of the symptoms are much the same as the flu, but they can become serious very quickly. It says to call your health provider or get emergency treatment right away. Sounds like something you ought to be taking, putting in your body, right? If you need emergency treatment. It says if you have the following symptoms: sudden high fever, vomiting, diarrhea, sunburn like rash, muscle aches, dizziness, fainting, feeling faint when standing up, liver problems, including liver tumors, high blood pressure, gallbladder problems, accidental insertion into the bladder, symptoms of a problem called angioedema. If you already have a family history of this, I mean, that's just one of them that causes all those things. I mean, one of the other ones that I have, it says this. It says it increases the risk of serious conditions, including blood clots, stroke, heart attack. These can be life-threatening or lead to permanent disability. That's a birth control pill that can do that to you. It goes on to say the most common side effects reported by women who are taking this in the study were nausea, vomiting, headache, spotting, bleeding between periods, painful menstruation, weight change, breast tenderness, acne, abdominal pain, anxiety, and depression. Did you hear what these things can cause? Do you think you need more? I mean, listen. I mean, women can be unstable enough in this world. You really think we need to give them stuff that causes them to have anxiety and depression? I mean, this is what is going on in these churches and in these colleges that are pushing these nonsense, and it's causing all these abortions to take place. Hey, these children that are in the womb, they are children. Hey, you know what the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, that when John the Baptist was in the womb and heard about the Messiah, heard about Jesus Christ, what did he do? He leapt for joy. You know what that tells me? Babies in the womb have emotions. Man. Babies in the womb have feelings. They can hear. They can feel. They can have emotions in the womb. He leapt for joy. Hey, that child is a child. That child is a reward from God. And it's time that Christians start standing up and speaking up against this nonsense.
Yeah.
We ought not to be voting for politicians that will fund Planned Parenthood. And listen, I don't vote at all because they're all crooked.
Amen.
And I'll probably never vote again unless there's some godly pastor that were to run for president, which ain't going to happen, and he wouldn't get voted in anyways. But listen, we ought not be voting for these kinds of men that are pushing this nonsense. And we ought to be standing up and speaking against these other Christians out there that have allowed this nonsense into their churches. And isn't it a wonder that those churches are dying? That you go into those churches that don't look at children as a blessing, and what are they full of? Full of gray heads. Where are the children? They're not there. Why do you think they're not there? Because they think children are a curse. Because they think that children are a burden. Hey, children are not a curse. Children are not a burden. They are a blessing from God, and life begins at conception. Let's end the word of prayer. We'll be dismissed this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you what you've shown us in your word this morning. I ask that you'd help us to take these things seriously, that we would search them out, that we would study them, Father, and that we would put godly practices into our lives. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed this morning. Hey everybody, real quick before y'all leave, we do have a couple baptisms to do real quick. So y'all go ahead and fellowship of the group, you watch on, get ready, and we'll go ahead and take care of the group.
You're not supposed to be better than you. We both can't.